السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أبدا سرمدا ما دامت السماوات والأرض ومن بعد أن تزولا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. Essential tools of the tazkiyah of our nufus, of walking the path of ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of freedom, is salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hubb for those who perform salah on time. And that, as a matter of fact, when the abd performs that which is obligatory upon him or her, as required by Allah, of salawat, plural of salah, and the likes, the abd is attempting to demonstrate his or her hub for Allah. And that when the abd, having affirmed the obligatory ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala required, in particular salah, and then begins to perform more ibadat, more salah, that are nawafil, as you know, plural of nafila, that which is extra, more than sunan. And the more one does of that, in particular salah, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةِ صَلَاةُ لِوَقْتِهَا. And as that continues, and as the abd continues and persists on that and keeps on knocking the door, knocking at the door of the compassionate and most loving Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala through the nawafil, then there comes a time when the abd becomes beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes a mahbub after he or she was a muhib, becomes beloved after he or she was a lover. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes the abd into his hadra subhanahu wa ta'ala, into his divine sublime presence, and then covers him or her with sublime attributes and with a joy and happiness and peace of the qalb that can be only talked to in the realm of our four-dimensional language. And it is that insistence through nawafil, in particular of salah, of such a abd seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the abd receives the mahbubiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in addition to what you know, that the qurrat ayn of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in salah, of all the things that he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of all the ibadat, of all the activities, of all the action, of all. Only one he described as his qurrat ayn, and that is salah. وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And unlike many perhaps of us who feel like being in salah only when we are at ease and everything is comfortable, and that's sometimes when we feel to go to salah, again it's like the one who says, I'm going to take the medication only when I feel healthy, the one who perform salah or dhikr and so on only when he or she feels good, sweet about it. It's like a person, again, who says, I take the medication when I am healthy. So he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَانَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ الْأَمْرُ صَلَّى كَانَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ صَلَّى And that is when actually he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, overwhelmed by some matter and challenge, حَزَبَ, concerned him very much, and he has a big concern. Interestingly, that doesn't detach him from Allah and say, I'm too busy trying to solve this issue. What it generates in him is that al-isra' ila salah, as Musa alayhi salam, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِطَرْضَى وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِطَرْضَى Oh my Lord, I have hastened to come to you so that you be pleased. عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِطَرْضَى I'm in a hurry to come to you. I hasten to come to you, Ya Allah, so that you are pleased with me. And how do we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, this is a journey of qulub, not with the legs of our physical body, but with the legs and wings of our qulub, through our a'mal, through ta'at, through salah, sawm, dhikr, hajj, sadaqah, sabr, shukr, rida. Kana idha hazabahu amrun sallah. Versus when some of us are in that state, oftentimes perhaps that's the least that people think about. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ Again, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Help yourselves with sabr and salah. In other words, when we are overwhelmed by issues and problems and concerns and school and work and job and family and the world and etc. اِسْتَعِينُوا Help yourselves with what? Sabr, and sabr is generated also by the ilm that we have, that there is no atom in the universe, spiritual atom or physical atom, that moves without the will and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ And salah. Instead of the reaction, I don't feel like I can come to Salah. Sometimes some of us would reach that stage, and that's very serious. That's indicative of the very powerful impact on the nafs that we have let for a long time go down. And in this case, we have to listen to the call of the aql, that we can immediately recognize to the call of the aql in order to give us momentum to do even when we feel we don't. And we remember these parables, I am sick, I'm not going to take the medication when I'm healthy, I need it now. So I wasta'inu bis-sabr was-salah wa innaha lakabiratun, and it is indeed something big. Illa 'ala al-khashi'in, except those who are in a state of khushu', stillness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing with their qulub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging their nature of abd with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasta'inu bis-sabr was-salah. Salah, subhanAllah, is so beautiful that the abd who is in salah and in general in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again the best ibadah and the best dhikr is salah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in one ayah in the Quran, Surah Al-Dukhan, describing the people of Fir'aun, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally punished them physically and took away Pharaoh and his dunud, and they lived, of course, on earth with tyranny and injustice and arrogance and vanity. And then he says to us, when after subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took them, فَمَا دَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ. SubhanAllah, look at this beautiful, beautiful divine expression through earthly language. That the heavens, space-time, the heavens and earth did not weep for them, did not mourn for their loss. And thus say the ulama, like of the Sahaba, like in some reports, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, as is reported by the ulama, that when the abd who is mu'min dies, بمفهوم المخالفة, السماوات والأرض weep for her or for him. Allah. Miss him or her. Mourn for him or her. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala is related to have said, أن العبد المؤمن إذا مات بكى عليه مصلاه من الأرض ومصعد عمله من السماء. That when such abd dies, subhanallah, when you die, ya abdullah, ya anatullah, when you die, sister, when you die, brother, because of your iman and your true sincere quest for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the salawat and that sujood and that ruku'ah on this place here on earth and in your home and outside, will miss you and will weep for you. And وَمَصْعَدُ عَمَلِهِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, and Rasulullah teaches us, that there is something like an ascension into space-time, into wormhole, into something in space-time, that a channel in space-time through which our a'mal, our deeds of ibadat, of ta'at, ascend to upper dimensions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that when the abd dies, that space-time channel, that ascension, that where the amal, the deeds of the individual had ascended, that will weep for that abd. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. سبحان الله. مصلاك, the place where you perform salah, misses you. See, we're not alone in ibadah. The world around us is inanimate but so animated. It is so animated in its own spiritual dimension. But of course, we are unaware of that. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, says Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. There isn't a thing in the universe and on earth that is not in tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you do not understand and perceive the way they do that. The universe, the inanimate world, and the animate world of the animals as well, and of the plants, I say they have consciousness of their own. And subhanallah, the very place that witnesses for me and that mourns my loss, I hope and I pray that I be of those rather than of the likes of Fir'aun and his people. The fish that prays for you, the fish, the birds, the ants, the animals, all of them are in istighfar for the abd who is in ta'a of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the abd who teaches others that which is khayr, that which is good, as did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As did he tell us, حَتَّى النَّمْلَةُ فِي جُحْرِهَا إِنَّ السماوات والأرض والملائكة في السماء والطير في السماء والنملة في جحرها والحوت في البحر. All of these are in istighfar, in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayers to forgive the abd who is in salah, in ibadah, in ta'a of Allah azza wa jal, in teaching others that which is khair. Everything around you. And sometimes that's what, not sometimes, but that is my discourse, because it's an Islamic discourse about why I care for the environment. I care for the environment not because I'm a utilitarian, not because it's like my slave. I use it and abuse it, and I walk in it just so that my nafs enjoys that, and that's why I want to keep it. No. I want to keep it and preserve it because it is with me in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which of the reason is stronger for the preservation of the environment? Because the first reason, when that's not there, and there are some other utilitarian reasons, then doesn't have to remain anymore. But I, as a Muslim, look at the environment as a being in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in salah and in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the environment for me is to be protected and preserved in the manner befitting of its nature and my relationship with it and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ought to come into salah, my dear brothers and sisters, with our bodies in ta'a, in humility, in khushu', in humbleness, and most importantly, try with our qulub and minds. And two rak'at like that in one's life would be the passageway to Jannah. That's why some ulama, and I think it was even one of the companions, maybe Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who said, if I know that in all my salah, two rak'at were accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I would be happy. I know that I will enter Jannah. I know that I will be safe. He says, because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا بِمَفَازَتِهِ. He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah accepts from those who have taqwa. So if he accepts from me, then that means, alhamdulillah, I have reached the level of taqwa. And Allah says, وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا بِمَفَازَتِهِ. And Allah azza wa jal will save those who have taqwa. So if he accepted from me, then I know that I have taqwa, and if I have taqwa, I know I will enter Jannah. I will be safe. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said explicitly, Man tawadha'a fa'ahsana al-wudu' thumma salla rak'atayni yuqbilu alayhima biqalbihi ووجهه وجبت له الجنة. الله توركات توركات. Whosoever performs wudu, and we talked about wudu, remember the intent behind it and how we should also come into wudu. فأحسن الوضوء. Remember what we learned about طهارة and wudu. It is meant by this أحسن. فأحسن الوضوء. Then he performed that wudu beautifully. In one other hadith, من توضع وضوئي هذا, the one who performs wudu like me. Rasulullah's wudu. Allahu Akbar. and then stands to perform and performs two rak'at, in which he comes with his qalb, yuqbilu alayhima, comes forward into those two rak'at with his or her qalb and with his or her face. Then Jannah will be wajib for that person. Jannah will be, subhanAllah, wajib for that individual. Wajabat lahu al-jannah. And therefore, every time, subhanAllah, as we remember this portion of ilm with repetition and revision and study and so on in mujahada, it will come into our minds and it becomes natural. Then when I stand in salah, one of the things that come, could it be these two rak'at? Could it be this? It. And some people have died in salah. In sujood. Allah Al-Azim. Some people, ulama, and I'm sure they knew this. If this abd knows it, they knew it. And can you imagine if their qulub were there and they die in sujood? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And on top of that, can you imagine that in al-Masjid al-Nabawi? Pray for me, please. But that's my end. Please. Can you imagine that in the Rawah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Two rak'at like that. Two rak'at like that. Subhanallah. As-salah, as-salah, as-salah. What does this remind you of? As-salat, as-salat, as-salat. What does this remind you of? Not Hajjatul Wada. As he was dying. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As he was dying. Bi abi huwa wa ummi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These last words to us. As-salat, as-salat wa ma malakat aymanukum. Salah. Salah, 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 salah. When he was dying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last few days, and as you know, he was befallen by tremendous pain and illness. And as he said, the anbiya, for they are nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pain of the illness and so on is multiplied many, many, many more to elevate them more in degrees to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they accept that. They accept that. And in those days, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one of us, just because we have a fever, we don't go to the masjid. Or maybe we have a broken finger. Some of us, we don't go to the masjid. Or just a wound in the leg, or a cold, or because of water. From different wells. And he would go into it to relieve himself from some heat of the fever. To do what? To go to salah of jama'ah and lead the salah. And ultimately he did that, and ultimately when did he not go anymore? When he did that, and then he was carried by two people on the side, and then he fell and lost consciousness. It is only then that he didn't go for jama'ah. Alhamdulillah. لأبيه وأمي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the last salah was a Maghrib salah. The last salah that he led was a Maghrib salah. In that illness, he read what we would think was too long for Maghrib. Surah Al-Mursalat. والمرسلات عرفة. In Salat al-Maghrib, while I don't think we can imagine, subhanallah, the burden and the toil on his noble body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his qalb was a qalb of a Nabi, and not of any Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when finally Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardah was leading salah, the very morning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, that morning as they had begun salah of Fajr and Abu Bakr was leading, they saw the curtain, because this was the wall of his noble house, quarters, into the masjid. And they saw the curtain open. And then he saw what he saw of the Sahaba in Salah, led by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He smiled and closed the curtain. That morning, Allah took him to him. The last
smile
was for what? Salah. The Ummah in Salah. The Ummah with Abu Bakr in Salah. And he closed the curtain. His last look was at an ummah in salah. That is not coincidence. His last look was at an ummah in salah. Bi abihi wa ummi. Distractions in our salah are many. There are external distractions and there are internal distractions. The external distraction, some of them are easier than the internal distraction. Visual distractions, audible distractions, where we perform our salah, that we can immediately take care of, and we must. It's accessible and easy generally for everyone except for the one who doesn't want. In my place of salah, in my home, why do I not care about the place where I perform salah, that it be free from visual distractions? And yet we choose places where there are so many anything, colors and objects and furniture and kaza ila rizalik and all of that, and sometimes we wonder why we're not focused. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is an authentic text, they got him new, not shoes, shoe laces of his sandals. New ones. When he finished the salah, he says, take them back. They distracted me from salah, in my salah. What is distraction for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's a different discourse. Take them. Somebody gave him a gift of a cloak, a garment from, I think from Yemen it was. And then he doesn't say no to a gift usually. So he was wearing it and in Salah again after he finished, he took it off, he says, give it back to the owner, Jazakallah khair, and give him this from me, something else. And get me my old one. وَهَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And this is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And therefore, my dear brother and sister, in Salah, remove distractions, visual and audible. Some people are in noise in Salah. People screaming, yelling, kala, watching television. I've seen literally people standing, يَعْلَمُ اللَّهِ مِنْ اللَّهِ Forgive me. Television is there, playing, and Salah and Salah, and peeking. And SubhanAllah, peeking. لا لا عفان الله وإياهم شعوذ بالله نسأل الله يعني الحمد لله الذي عفانا مما أبلى به كثيرا من خلقه or in Muslim homes the radio is on and people are in Salah in the same room sometimes إلى غير ذلك لا all of these we can remove be in a place as much as possible where it is simplest possible way. No colors, including the sajjadat that you bring for salah. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please forgive me. That's not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have a sajjadah multicolored and all those kala ila rivalik. And the imam has a special sajjadah. No, no. Imam Malik actually used to think, his opinion was that if you put a special sajjadah for the imam, that's bid'ah. Not literally, that's the opinion of Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. And therefore it should be something very simple. Very simple. And avoid all those external distractions. And then internal distractions, those have to do with all what we've been talking about, those tizkiyah. I cannot come into Salah and expect to come with all my focus when my style of life outside is not one that conforms to the tazkiyah of the nufus. Because when I come to Salah, I come with all that luggage and that baggage with me. I am inside Salah what I am outside Salah. That's it. So outside Salah, the distractions, the visual environments, the audible environments, the feelings that I have entertained, all of those. And therefore opening the gates of shaitan to shaitan, opening the gates to shaitan of my qalb, and the gates of shaitan into my qalb are my own characteristics, vices. Every negative characteristic that I have is a gate for shaitan to enter into it. Greed and anger, for example, and vanity and arrogance and boastfulness, and all of these are characteristics that I have inside of me. And when I have them, they are gates into my qalb that shaitan simply uses and finds them inviting and enters. And that's why in salah all of that happens. The way I use my eyes outside of Salah, my dear brothers and sisters, where I look at, what I look at, all of those represent a repertoire, a store of signals and of data that produce harakat in the nafs. And I come with that. And shaitan finds those harakat and is invited. I cannot rid myself of those simply by entering into Salah. At least, of course, one struggles in salah. But I have to, in addition to my struggle inside salah to focus and refocus, I have to clear the repertoire of my nafs from the accumulated signals outside of salah, including what I watch with my eyes, whether it be on television or on internet or sound of the radio or outside, where did I look at? All of those. How much have I spoken? Subhanallah. Versus how much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much have I eaten? And what have I eaten? What thoughts have I entertained? What feelings have I allowed in my qalb towards others? All of those are the pool of stored signals and data with which I come to salah that shaitan finds very inviting and comes in. In a sense, the keys to the gates of my qalb for salah are my external senses. The doors are the characteristics, the traits, and the keys and the locks are those external senses of mine. Every look at anything that is haram, I pay for it first in my salah. And I ask the question, how can I focus? Whose fault is it? Why? I carry that with me. Why shaitan comes to me in salah? I carry him with me. I have invited him. He did not force himself. Shaitan does not have the authority to force himself on an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan," says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, "Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda?" Isn't Allah kafi, a sufficer, and a protector of his abd? Bala, he is subhanahu wa ta'ala, protector from shaitan, from everything else. But that is the abd, the more ubudiyya, that is the more freedom of the qalb, the more kifaya, that's what the ayah implies, the more sufficiency, the more protection. Less ubudiyya, less protection. That's what it means. Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda, my dear brothers and sisters. And thus, in order that I enjoy that salah, and that it will become finally a sweet ibadah, this is what I should do. And that is, of course, part of the tazkiyah process in that which is called also mujahada. Mujahada has two elements, an external one, an internal one. The external element of mujahada is that these keys, these senses, I hold them. I do not use the keys, I do not use my senses, my eyes, my tongue, and etc. I watch carefully, I struggle, I'm in jihad, so that my senses are not used in a way that is displeasing to the maker of those tools and instruments and senses. That's external mujahada. Of course, alhamdulillah, we are becoming more and more familiar with it as going uphill and so on. And there is an internal mujahada, which is more involved than the first one. And the first one will gradually lead to the second one, naturally. That I become very watchful of now, not the movements of my eyes external, but the movements of my nafs inside of me. The movements of my nafs or my qalb inside of me. And if there is a movement, a haraka or khatir that is negative, I repent to Allah internally from that khatir that is within me, that discourse within me, and that suggestion within me. I do not externalize it first. I watch it. I watch my qalb daily. It changes inside of me. Momentarily it becomes. And first I begin by not allowing it to be externalized. Then gradually, until as it comes, I and in immediate repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala internally. That is called muraqabah. The internal muraqabah, watchfulness of our internal nafs and qalb. If I don't do those, and many times, many of us perhaps, alhamdulillah, we are very concerned with external mujahada, and we must. We have not been made aware of the internal mujahada. Those feelings that we harbor towards other human beings and other creatures, and sometimes even towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those we have to also be aware of and conscious of and struggle against them and not entertain them. And in particular, not allow them to be actualized and externalized until we would not allow them even to be. And in your book of Samt, inshallah, there is that it is indicated there. Quietness is of two dimensions, the external dimension and the inner dimension. Quietness of the tongue, and then it will lead gradually to the quietness of the nafs. Why do I have that hadith of the nafs, so much noise inside? I will never get to the silencing of my nafs if I have not silenced the tongue, the external tongue. Forget it. The external mujahada of the silence and of quietness of the tongue will gradually lead me, along with zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to now be concerned with the silence of my inner being, of the hadith of the nafs, of the noise inside of the nafs. It is khatabun nafs, hadithun nafs, hawajisunnafs. I will begin to learn to distinguish between a discourse inside of me that is of nafs and of shaitan and of angel and of my qalb and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these exist. Yes. And for example, the one who indulges in eating haram as a Muslim or so will never distinguish between a khatir of a malak and a khatir of shaitan. The one who doesn't watch his gaze, من لا يغض بصره, البصر, what the basar sees, will never distinguish between khatir al-malak wa shaitan. Khatir al-nafs wa khatir al-malak. خاطر القلب وخاطر النفس. All of these are حجب. The way I use my eyes, غض البصر, from the محارم, is حجاب inside of me. Part of that حجاب, I would not distinguish between, factually, between inside of me, is this نفس or قلب? Is this شيطان or ملك? Let alone even realizing that there is something divine khatir. And the arifun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's exactly what they said. And those who have experienced that know. I was talking about that discourse inside of the nafs with which I come into salah. I have to do that, to take care of it first outside of salah, and continue through the process, alhamdulillah, of ilm and tawbah and mujahada, until bi-idhnillah, gradually from external silence and quietness into internal silence and quietness. And that qalb becomes like a celestial sphere, protected by the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the external celestial sphere protected by the shuhub, the comets that don't allow shayateen into its space, the qalb becomes a celestial sphere, mashallah, with the power of the grace of mujahada and dhikr, and there is a resonance of light, of nur, and that nur will be to the lamma of shaitan like fire in the external world. And that qalb will be a qalb. then when one has reached that stage, then that qalb sees in other qulub.
Allah.
And that qalb becomes like one of them said, if I disobey my heart, I disobey my Lord.
Allah.
Only then. Because that qalb has become now the seat of only the khatir of the malak and the ilham of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan has no place, nafs has no place. Burnt by the light and the nur of the resonance between mujahada and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the salah becomes like the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The salah becomes like the salah of ibadullah al-muqarrabun, those who are nearest in stations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who when they enter in salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even shows them in salah that which no eye has ever seen, no heart has ever felt in their salah, some of them. Rahimahumullah ta'ala. This means, my dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, that we have something, yes, to aspire for. And we have these to inspire us. And before one reaches that stage of hal, let alone maqam, and I think we spoke about that in previous years, the difference between hal and maqam. Hal may be transitory, maqam is alhamdulillah, and maqam is steady state and constant. But before even the hal, which is transitory, there is lawami', there are flashes into the qalb. There will be flashes, momentary, very momentarily. Sometimes they come and then they don't return for long time. That's the beginning. Flash in the qalb of nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, connection to the other world. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Now I say it, I know. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Until, as the mujahada continues, the ilm and the tawbah and the mujahada continues, it becomes a hal and it becomes a maqam. Some of those people, hafizahum Allah ta'ala, then, before Allah takes them, they live almost all the hours of the day connected. And some leave some part of the day with that very profound divine presence. And for them, they see what we only know here. Look at me. They see what we only know here, some of us. Some of them are granted after that to see, look at what I'm doing. To see and to hear. Aina. They see, they hear with this and with this and with this what I and you do not see and do not hear. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Salah, my dear brothers and sisters. Just, alhamdulillah, keep on. Keep on. None of you should never ever feel despair. Never. And we should not be in haste for these things. No. Be abd. Just be a abd. If you don't, if you're not in the state of mind of wanting to be a abd, you will never attain ikhlas. You will always be working for something personal and benefit. I want this, I want that, I want this car, I want this. It won't work. No experimenting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be in the state of mind of being an abd, expecting nothing, serving. Remember that story of that abd in the first night we shared? Be an abd. Be an abd. And you will see what happens. My dear brothers and sisters. And I conclude with this, subhanAllah. One of the early scholars and Salihun was asked by, again, sincere people learning in the past to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learning, and they said, yes, Sayyidi, ya Shaykh. Why is it that when we finish Salah, we don't feel and sense and do like what we are told the companions and some of the Tabi'un did? Namely, that when they finish ibadah, and salah in particular, they finish ibadah, they finish salah, and they are afraid after finishing salah whether that salah was accepted or not. And then we, it seems, when we finish salah, we are relieved. We feel relieved. SubhanAllah, isn't it true sometimes? So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, those, when they served Allah in salah and in ibadah, they dealt with Allah as abid ta'i'in. They came to Allah in their ibadah and in salah as abid, that are obedient, that obedient slaves. And when they finish, they are afraid, as a slave obedient, will this work be pleasing to my master? Willing abid, willing slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are afraid, will it be accepted? And he said, we, when we come to salah, or you, when you come to salah, he says to them, rahimahullah ta'ala, we or you come to salah and to ibadah feeling almost like coerced, feeling like it's a burden. It's like in a state of ikrah, you have to do this. The other one was obedient ta'i' abd. This is like a mukrah. You know what a mukrah is? Mukrah, a person who is coerced, who is told you have to do this, and at the point of the sword. So he says, and therefore when we finish, that's it, the sword is removed, so we feel relieved, because what we do it by ikrah, not by devout obedience and delight of an abd that is ta'i'. And subhanAllah, it is oftentimes so true, isn't it? So true. Imam al-Junayd rahimahullah ta'ala, but there, and Junayd who rahimahullah ta'ala, who tasted sweetness and hubb and yarhamukallah. It is said he was in Mecca, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa harafah Allah. Allah protected. Please pray for it.
Amen.
Pray for that house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray for that land. حَرَفَهَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So he was in the masjid. And then the salah time came, and they requested that he lead salah. He said, no, I don't think I am deserving of leading you in salah. Al-Imam? Al-Junaid? I don't think I'm deserving to lead you in salah in the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They insisted. Labud. So he approached. He approached the mihrab. And then the sunnah is, he looked at them and he said, Istawu, rahimakum Allah. You know, Istawu. Istawu, rahimakum Allah. Straighten yourself up. Your lines, in other words. And then as he said that, he fell on the ground.
Allah.
He lost consciousness. They tried to resuscitate him, didn't. Had another imam lead salah. Finished salah, they brought some water. He finally woke up. After a while, what happened, Ya Sayyidi? He said, when I said to you, a voice within me said, هل استويت أنت حتى تأمر الناس بالاستواء؟ Have you straightened up yourself to ask from these people to straighten themselves up? Of course, it was taken to the inner dimension. And he fell. رضي الله تعالى ورحمه ورحمنا برحمته وببركاته. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد الصادق الأمين الذي بعثته رحمة للعالمين ونورا ومنارا ورحمة يا ربي يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا تحرمنا أجرهم يا رب. اللهم لا تحرمنا مما رزقتهم يا رب. اللهم اهد قلوبنا يا رب. اللهم اهد قلوبنا. اللهم اهد قلوبنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.